number 14, and we'll get a thought. And my thought tonight is, what are we going to do with that lamb, the Lamb of God? When we get to heaven, there's going to be no issue. We're going to fall down before him, and we're going to worship him in spirit and in truth. But I wonder what we're going to do now. In Matthew chapter number 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshiped Peter, saying, well, he walked on the water, but they didn't worship him. They knew who gave him the power to do that. I wonder, we have a lot of people running around this country that we're called idols. They're heroes. But who gave them the power to do what they do? Who gave them the voice to sing like they sing? Who gave them the strength to do what they do? Who gave them the ability to go around the world? Who did that for them? Who was the one controlling the wind? Who was the one that was lifting them up? Who was the one that was sustaining them? Who was the one that gave them the air to breathe? Who was the one that gave them water to drink? Who was the one that touched their body? Who was the one that kept them from dying? It was the Lord. That's who we need to be worshiping. We rejoice when we see how God puts his hand on people. And I rejoice at listening to the talents of the people that play the piano and sing their songs and do what they do and build buildings and all these other kind of things. I rejoice in that, but I know who touched them. I know where their source is. It was the Lord himself. And so they worship Jesus, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." So make sure we get our worship directed to the right place, to the right person, at the right time. Amen. Well, in the Old Testament, the word worship is, the meaning is to kiss the hand. Kiss the hand that feeds you. To kiss the king's hand. Well, we've got people in religious places today that they hold out their hand and people come and kiss his hand, kiss his ring. Kiss his feet. I said, no, there's no man I'm going to do that for. There's only one person. There's only one person I'm going to bow. Now, if I had hair, I'd wash his feet and dry it with my hair. But since I don't have any, I'll let the ladies do that, because the Bible, they did that. It depends on, what do you think of Jesus? Now, we're living in days today when people don't even go to church because it's just Jesus. It's just the one that died on the cross. It's just Jesus. That's the attitude that Satan had, Lucifer, when he was in heaven. He said, "I've been in the very presence of the stones of fire. I've walked right in the very presence of God." Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covered the all-universal vehicle that Jesus Christ manifested presence went around this universe. Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10 and many other places. He was the one that put the covering over the manifested presence of the Lord, and he came away saying, "I'm worthy of some of this glory. Jesus is not so much. Worship me. I will ascend to the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High." And so God kicked him out of heaven immediately as soon as that was found in him, and he was cast down to this planet to be an exile from the presence of the Lord, to kiss the hand. That's when's the last time you kissed the hand of Jesus? When is the last time you kissed his feet? When's the last time you washed his feet with your tears? When's the last time you drew as close to him and you sensed the reality of his presence in your life? I know how, know you not how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. When's the last time his presence was so real, driving down the road, and his presence was so real that you almost felt like you needed to pull off the side of the road and just raise your hand and bow your head and say, God is good, and God is gracious, and God is glorious, and God is wonderful. When's the last time you just did that sink of dishes for the fourth time that week? And his presence moved in. The last time you did that same load of clothes that you did four other times that week, and you went into the laundry area, and his presence got so real that you realized he was with you, and his presence was real. I'm telling you, we need to get back to having a worthiness of our Savior, a worthiness of Almighty God. Worship is worth-ship. It all depends on how much you think he's worth to you. How much is Jesus worth to you? He's the one that tasted hell. He's the one that tasted death. He's the one that moved into our dirty bodies after he saved us and paid for it. He's a wonderful, wonderful king. Well, I just want to remind us for a few minutes. I've probably used this illustration here before. I don't know. But there's somebody else here tonight. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Jesus Christ. We need to realize that when we're singing, we're not singing to each other necessarily. We're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart. Amen. To the Lord.
Amen.
And for the Lord. Who are we singing for? It's for the Lord. Who are we playing for? It's for the Lord. Who am I preaching for? It's for the Lord. And we need to get a glimpse of his presence again and not just visualize it, but memorialize it in our heart and when we come to the house of God. Public worship in church is only as good as your personal private worship. Some man told me one time, he said, well, I can worship God in the deer stand as well as I can in the church pew. And I said, amen. And if your worship on that deer stand isn't as good as it is in the church house, just leave it out there. But there's a time for public worship. You can worship God at the foot of your bed. You can worship God in the back, in the woods. You can worship God out on the fishing bank. You can worship God on the golf course. You can worship God a lot of places. But he deserves public worship. And when it's time for public worship, you need to honor him. I'm saying you. I'm talking about me and you. It says, worship means to adore, to pay divine honors to reverence with supreme respect and veneration. And God said, thou shalt worship no God beside me. He said, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And that literally means in my face. Get your gods out of my face when you come into my presence. He said, I am the only God. I'm the only Savior. I'm the only Creator. I'm the one worthy of all this. And he gives us an opportunity to get close to him. Draw near to God. And he draws near to us. He wants us to get us to sense his presence in our life. He wants us to sense his presence in the church service. And he says, it's to respect, to honor, to treat with civil reverence, to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission as a lover. Just as that woman washed his feet, anointed his feet with the oil, the special fragrant oil, and poured it on and wiped his feet with her hair. See, it doesn't just honor the Lord. When she left, she had the fragrance of worship on her head, on her body. Everywhere she went, people could take knowledge of her that she had been with Jesus. She had worshiped at his feet. It was obvious to anybody that's ever been there. So don't miss out. It's not a religious service. It's a personal worship service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sits upon his throne and he's listening. He knows the intent of our heart. He knows where we'd rather be tonight. He knows what we're really thinking about. He knows who we really love and who we don't love. He knows all these things. And so to worship him is we have to have proper worship. We have to have one worthy of that worship. Well, there's no doubt about it. Jesus Christ is worthy. Boy, in heaven, the angels worship him, the beasts worship him, the archangels worship him, the cherubs worship him, the seraphims worship him, and the multitudes that are in heaven worship before his throne night and day, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, and worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power and majesty." Oh, I tell you, we need to get back to understanding when we come to the house of God, we are meeting each other, but Christ is in us. And when we keep right with God and we have good private worship, we come to the house of the Lord and we bring our little hot coals of fire and we bring them down to the house of God and we scooch them all close together and not spread them all up. Never mind. But, and we spread them out all over the auditorium, and the hot air comes out of the preacher and those coals of fire burst into a flame, and God will manifest himself greater in a worship service in a local church than we can even know him in an individual way, because that's where he's promised. See, we're a picture of his future bride. We're a picture of that. So worship is to perform acts of adoration. Oh, boy, we ought to sing that song more than just at Christmas. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. I mean, adoration and praise and thanksgiving. You might come into the king's presence. You might come into the president's presence. You might come in front of somebody's presence with mumbling and moping and groaning and crying and criticizing. But you'll not get into his presence that way. He said, come into my presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving, into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. For the Lord is good. So in Matthew 14:33, they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. When's the last time you really did something publicly to show your veneration, your adoration, your praise, your thanksgiving, your worship to the one that is worthy? Most independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches, and that's what I preach in across this country and around the world, very few people use that altar anymore because they don't get the right picture. 9 out of 10 times when you come up here, you're not coming to an altar of dedication. Not to be blasphemous. Take care of things in this world so you won't have to deal with it when you get to the judgment seat of Christ. Right. It's the same Jesus. It's the same throne. He's here. He's among us. He's with us. And that's why we can confess our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can take care of this business here. Right. So you won't have to have it hanging over your head at the rapture of the church or when you die or when you come before the throne of his grace. See, the disciples had some sense. I mean, they should have known a lot of things. But one thing they did know, Peter was not worthy of worship. And yet in the Philippines, there are two men that have over 1 million followers, and they both claim to be Messiah. 1 million people worship and adore those guys. Of course, those two are at odds. They don't like each other. They're stealing each other's money. I mean, membership. Yeah. Well, we know what it's all about. All that, follow the money. Not only do you have a person worthy of worship, you got to have words worthy of worship. Amen. I'm afraid most of the time that precious name of Jesus is attached to cursing, swearing, profanity, and obscenity, and darkness and evil. God's last name is not damnation. He's Son of God, the Lamb of God, the Savior of the world, the lover of our soul. Words worthy of worship, not vain words. Excuse me, Lord. Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. That's blasphemy. You don't take anything that refers to God lightly, meaninglessly, glibly. vainly. You use that name. It's a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not worthless. He's worthy.
Amen.
Never attach him. I know. OMG. OMG. No, we don't need that. There are times you say, oh my God, but you've got to be talking to him and you've got to know who you're talking to. It's not just something you just throw around. So let's be careful, because we want our words to mean something to him. He's heard us how we used it before. To use his name lightly or inconsistently or attaching it to worthless things or vanity and deceit. But Jesus said in Matthew 15, in vain do they worship me.
Yeah.
Just empty. So to take the name of God in vain, to use the name of God with levity or profaneness, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain, lightly. Remember the Masoretic text we believe is the preserved word of God in the Old Testament, the Hebrew. Those people were so diligent about that, they wouldn't even say Yahweh, Jehovah. They wouldn't say, they put capital L, capital O-R-D, Lord. Because they didn't want to lower his name by it coming through their carnal flesh.
Right.
But we just throw it around. I said, we, God's people. We don't, it doesn't surprise me what lost people do. That doesn't, nothing they do surprises me.
Right.
It's what we do as God's people. Worship. Words worthy of the one that we worship. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. When you hear somebody do it, honestly, I say this, I'd rather hear somebody use my precious mother's name in vain or in cursing than God's. Because I'm not going to defend God's name. He doesn't need me to. But if they do use my mama's name, I have the privilege of beating the snot out of them. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. You can't say something with your mouth you haven't thought about. Oh, that just slipped out. It's not a Freudian slip. It's in there. It's in there. Our carnality comes out. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. For out of the heart proceed the issues of life, Proverbs tells. So not only what the person worthy of worship and words worthy of worship. Hey, bud. How you doing, big man, big boy upstairs? Well, there is a man in the glory world. The man Christ Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
But henceforth, we don't know him anymore after the flesh. He's back in his manifested glory. He's
right.
Back as the precious Son of God with the angels falling down at his feet. Yes, he still has the wounds in his hand and feet, his
right.
Side. That's the only way you'd know. Because he's back with the glory that he had with his Father before the world began.
Amen.
So, we need to worship him with words worthy of who he is. There are some things we use in church that I don't use other places. That's why it's called profane. Profane means pro in front of fame, the church house. Fane is the old English word, Irish word for church house. And so profane is taking the words that we use in the church, outside the church, and apply and use them in ways that don't apply to this. Damnation, nothing wrong with that. Bastard, no problem with it. It's a Bible word. But you don't take it outside the church and throw it around. Then number three, we need to walk a walk worthy of our worship. See, since God knows, He knows if your heart's really in it. He knows if your words are really not tainted words and not just religious mumbo jumbo. God knows.
Amen.
And He's here with us in every service. He's here. He walks with us and talks with us along life's narrow way. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. And all those kind of things the Bible says. But it really is here, and He's on a throne high and lifted up. I mean, He's here, and everything we're doing here tonight is for Him and for His honor, for His glory. So we have to have a walk worthy. The Bible says in Acts 5:41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Might take suffering. When you suffer, you whine, cry, and complain, and get all discouraged and distraught and all that. You're just touching the hem of His garment. Jesus went through all that.
Amen.
He suffered more than any man.
Right.
So we get a little taste of it, get beat up or get spit on or something. I've had all that stuff. So, you know, that makes me super spiritual. It just means I was counted worthy to suffer for His name's sake. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Now, if you put Jesus Christ number one in your life, if you put Jesus Christ number one in your life, He'll not make you put your wife number 17. You get God in the right place in your life. Everything else, all the other ducks will line up. But if you don't have Him right, He's not going to help you get the other things in order. Your wife will never be number three. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me. That's what the early Christians all said. I want to be like Jesus. So we have to carry a cross. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Die to self. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So Jesus died, showing us the example that we should follow in His steps. And what was He talking about in the context? Suffering. Heaven is the opposite of hell. So if there's really no hell, then we don't need heaven. If there's no blessed way of walking with God and honoring the Lord, then there's no, you got to have opposites. You can't even get saved without repentance and faith, negative and positive. To get a charge, you got to have both. So everything's got positive and negative to it. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's a song, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. Well, see, if you're not wanting to get more, to learn more, to get closer to Him, to learn more about Him, your words don't mean much to Him because He knows you don't really care that much. You're not going to make up in a, worship, You're not going to make up for the fact that He already knows your heart. You know, you may look good in front of a lot of people. Those who use words and have a walk worthy may draw nearer. Nearer, blessed Lord, in communion and closeness. Not only that, but when we worship, we've got to have the right person to worship. One worthy of worship. Don't give it to somebody else. Don't give it to anything else. Then we have to have words worthy of worship. Then we have to have a walk worthy of the one we're worshiping. Then we have to have gifts worthy of the one we worship.
Amen.
And when they saw the star, they came to where the young child was, and they offered unto him their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Talking about wise men, talking about the Magi, talking about the people that came from the far, far east, came a year's journey with probably many months of preparation so they could get there at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It wasn't something you just jump on a plane and get there. Those camels walk about 3 miles an hour, about the same as the average person walks. You know, it takes a long time to go 2,500 miles. Okay? So, the Bible says they presented him gifts. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be father, where is my honor? If I be master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. That's, you know, we used the joke, what the $100 bill met a dollar bill one day. They got to talking. The $100 bill said to the $1 bill said to the $100 bill, where you been lately? He said, oh man, I've been all around this world. I've been in the finest casinos of Las Vegas. He said, I've been in some of the biggest financial deals of history. He said, I've been in business meetings. I've been on golf courses. I've been all over this world. And so the $100 bill said, well, hey, dollar bill, where have you been lately? He said, oh, same old, church to church to church. Boy, that went over good. Okay. I guess you've all heard it. You offer the blind for sacrifice. Whatever you give to God is supposed to be your best. You all remember, I mean, you took... People send gifts down to Appalachia during the floods and everything, and they send a lot of stuff to Goodwill and Salvation Army and AMVETS and everything else, and they're all broken and no good, and they pass those things out, and children receive the baby, and the baby doesn't have a head. They said, if you're giving it to the Lord, give your best. Amen. And if you're giving in the name of Jesus, give your best. Instead of giving the church the used refrigerator, why don't you buy the church a new one and you keep the old one? We've had that one before. Boy, God makes you eat every word you say, or I say. Okay? But it's good. Don't give the church the broken down van. Give the church the good van. All over this world, people worship the demons and the devils, and in the old days before Britain conquered India and saved them from the Muslim invasion, they would take their baby, the sick baby and the well baby, down to the Ganges River and throw the healthy baby into the river for the crocodiles and keep the sick one, because they're worshiping their god. They're not going to give him the sick baby. Christ has done far more than us. And if they knew Jesus, they would love him. To know Jesus is to love him. Amen. And all these false gods out there, if they would just turn to Jesus, he would satisfy their soul. You know. Every pagan and heathen god that's out there, Jesus is far better. He does far more. He said... God did not need anything that we give him, but it's the thought that counts. Since God deals with us in our intents, he knows the why we do what we do. The why we do what we do is so much more important to God than what we do. It's important that I preach the word of God. But I'll stand at the judgment seat for why I'm doing it. Do I love him? Did he tell me to preach this? And do I love you enough to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Because there's a lot of people that preach And a lot of truth, they say a lot of truth, but they've got an ulterior motive in it. They need the third airplane. That was free. How about the posture of the one worshiping? I'm just going to walk right up and shake the master's hand. God bless you, Jesus. No. I'm just saying we need to get back to a real spiritual understanding of who it is we're worshiping, brothers and sisters. We come before Him. And I've been in prayer rooms. I've been all over this world. I know how people pray. And I've seen them. They get over here and say, what you're doing. Oh, God, I don't know what you're doing. Oh, God, can't you figure this out? So did you sense yourself in the presence of God?
Amen.
Really? Were you really talking to Him? There is a time for supplication prayer. That's a mighty voice of a mighty need. But that's when you're in private.
Right.
Just go ahead and tell him, because he already knows how you feel. Just go ahead and get honest with him.
Amen. That's right.
When you come into his presence, don't come with discouraging words, because that's a reflection on him. So you're discouraged, huh? Suffering with you. I've been patient with you. I've given you more than you deserve. And you're talking to me like that? I'm a good God. I'm a gracious God. I'm a great God. I'm a glorious God. And you're suggesting I'm not being good to you? God, you're just not being fair with me. Do you really want Him to start now? You really want God to be fair with you? You get exactly what you deserve. That's fair. I don't want that. I want Him to have mercy and grace and long-suffering and graciousness and be and treat me, oh, in wrath, remember mercy. Oh, God, it's because of His compassions fail not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Be careful when you come to His presence. Come with grateful hearts. Why should God do anything for us more than He's already done if we're not even grateful for what He has done? The thankful person gets the extra blessing. The ten lepers He cleansed, only one of them went back. He said, "Where are the nine? I healed all ten of them." But only one came back and worshiped Him.
Amen.
Say, thank you, Lord. A posture worthy. You say, when we pray, thy will be done, what we're saying is, my will not be done.
Right.
Not my will. Thy will be done. Anything less than that is making us God instead of Him. And I'm afraid most of our prayers, I'm really putting myself in there, most of our prayers are giving nothing more, nothing less than just giving God advice. But who hath been His counselor? You really going to tell God what He needs to do? Pour your heart out to Him. Be honest with Him. Tell Him all your thoughts and dreams and schemes even. Just put it out there. And said, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. If the Lord wills, we shall live and go into such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain. If the Lord wills. But I've been fishing. I've been fishing before. Everybody's catching fish but me. So I swapped the rods with the other people. They're still catching fish and not me. So I get on the other side of the boat where they're catching the fish, and they're catching fish on the other side of the boat. I think God knew that I was the one that was going to tell the biggest stories about what I was catching or didn't catch. I did catch some, but I got no glory out of that trip. And always, day and night, the gathering demoniac was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. There was two of those demonized people. Only one ran to Jesus. The radical difference between the wicked and the righteous. The wicked go away from the Lord when they sin. The righteous run to the Lord when they sin. Adam and Eve, what did they do when they sinned? They went away and they hid. You and I, we've been forgiven. Whenever we mess up, we fail, we disobey. It's not time to go away and hide. It's not time to move membership and go to a big church where you can hide. It's time to get to Jesus.
Amen.
Worshiped him. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "All hail." Talking to the disciples after the resurrection. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. They worshiped at his feet. They washed his feet with their hair. They wiped his feet with their hair. They held him by the ankles and worshiped his feet. Even country music, they sing about Shameless. In our physical love one toward another, a man with a woman, how much greater is his love toward us? We ought to be shameless in our worship. I don't care who sees this. I don't care who. I didn't say do it in an undignified way. I was at a service one time, and we went our kind of church, but a woman was rolling around on the floor, and she was very immodest about it. And people brought a white, kind of a tablecloth type thing, and laid it over to protect her. I said, "Was what you doing, was that of God?" "Oh, yeah." "Then don't cover it up."
Right.
But it wasn't of God, or that's why they had to cover it up. Jesus Christ is Lord. I don't have time to finish the message. But it's a There's a request that we make when we really worship. We ask him things that we would not ask anybody else.
That's right. Amen.
If you can tie your own shoes, don't ask him to help you tie your shoes.
Right.
Amen. When you don't have the ability to tie your shoes, you ask him and he'll make sure somebody comes and ties your shoes.
Right.
The leper came and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." He said, "I will." They worshiped him, calling him Lord, and asked something of Jesus that he would not have asked anybody else. That's worship. Demonized man fell down and said before Jesus and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the God, the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." So he said, "Come out of the man." Thief on the cross. "Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom." Jesus said, "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." You can't find me someplace in the scriptures where somebody spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, asked him for something, calling him Lord, that he didn't answer him. Maybe not the way they wanted, but he answered them. He healed the blind man. He helped the Syrophoenician woman and said, if thou canst do anything, have mercy on my daughter.
Right.
She said, "I will." She said, "Lord," and asked him for something that she would not have asked anybody else.
Amen.
Christians, we've had over the years the greatest country on the face of the earth. And it's been a benevolent government. But I guarantee you, 99% of professing Christians will give the government their cut before they give God his cut. When God is the one that's going to take care of you, not the government. So bring that when you worship. Because he knows. Lord, we love you. Ask your blessings. Help us to make available to ourselves and help us to come clean with you. But Lord, help us to avail ourselves of public worship, especially at invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, please.